buena viuda que me dijo la bruja Ermelinda. ¡Largo! ¡Largo de aquí! ¡Viejita! ¡Que íbamos!
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Trash Mix Podcast. We're on episode 2, season 2, and it's a strange summer this time. We're going to be talking about two very strange movies from Mexico. Ironically, both like based on comic books, and then they're both comedies, one being a horror comedy. So it's going to be pretty interesting to talk about these movies today.
Yeah, I think when you came up with the idea, because we talked about doing like something like a wild summer, and then you proposed these two movies. I was like, after I watched it, I was like, yeah, we definitely got to do these two movies because these are fucking crazy. Well, the second one is a little more crazy than the first.
The first movie is a little colorful and very visually awesome. Like, just everything about it is awesome. I mean, we'll get to it, but yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, so, I mean, we kind of took a little bit longer to do this episode, just the way our schedules worked out. I was on vacation for like a week and a half. And then it was 4th of July and,
it's still all worked out.
Yeah, it's still all worked out, but it was kind of, when I was on vacation, I had told you this, but I just kind of wanted to say it because I think it was kind of a cool story. I was in Cleveland at a record shop and I had my Trash Mix shirt on and the guy was kind of like looking at me the whole time and I'm thinking like, oh man, I hope he's not like a racist dude or something, you know? And I asked him to look at something on the wall and then he kind of just stopped me. He was like, Trash Mix. He's like, like the post-apocalyptic wrestling movies? I was like, yeah. He's like, you know which one I'm talking about, right? I was like, well, I assume you're talking about Intrepidos Punks. And he's like, yeah, that's the one. These guys, like pile driving this fool. He look like, they look like punks. Yeah, that's us. Yeah, yeah, that's the homie Armando. And I had explaining what it is. He's like, yeah, I know. Yeah, that's fucking sick. Trash Mix, hell yeah. So Trash Mix is... Spreading wild,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, that word is just going around Trash Mix. It's just pretty cool, you know. I'm just like, oh, that's nice. Like, I even see it like on Discord and like you're seeing it on like forums. People just use it as that term. Not even aligning it with anything what I do, but just as the word. And I think that's pretty awesome.
Instead of Mexploitation or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to like go on about it, but yeah, when people say Mexploitation, like let's say Caguamas Ninjas Mexploitation, that doesn't make any sense. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't think Mexploitation fits like a whole wide range of movies like Trash Mix does.
Exactly. There's more than just, yeah, I'm not even going to get into it, but yeah. But that's cool though. I mean, it's cool. Yeah. Like I said, that was awesome to hear.
Yeah. It was cool.
Where was it at? Cleveland?
It was in Cleveland. Yeah. Cleveland. Yeah. So wow. Shout out to My Mind's Eye Records. If you're ever in Cleveland, go out to My Mind's Eye Records. Okay, yeah. Really cool. Shout out to Charles. Awesome. Doubt he's listening, but if he is, shout out to Charles.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's get into it, right? So we're in the midst of a strange summer, globally, you could say. And we got two cool ones. So like Armando said, the first movie that we're talking about is called Ermelinda Linda. And that she's based off of a Mexican comic book from the 60s. And kind of a long history there. It was published by Editor Mex Mexicana. That started in 1965, and it ran for 37 years.
That's a long time.
That's a really long time, yeah. I'm not too big into comics, but I mean, I would think that almost a 40-year comic run is pretty out there. I don't know how many comics are last that long unless if they're not Marvel or whatever. But yeah. So it started in 1965, and it didn't officially change to Ermelinda Linda until 1968, because there was like a outroar from the Mexican government. I guess people were taking this this comic too serious because it was originally titled something like Brujería or Brujería or something like that. And I guess it ran for 3 years under that title, but people were calling in trying to learn how to make potions and how to do their own little witchcraft shit.
Mexican government paranoid at the time, so
yeah. I mean, you know, you can guess why. I mean, 1968. It's It was a very historic year for Mexico. They had like the whole student killing, disappearings, and you know, we still don't know what happened to those people. This, you know, this many years later, you know, you can say, but yeah. So it had an official 1,266 issues of Ermelinda Linda.
Imagine collecting all that.
Crazy. I looked some of it up, and you know, the art is amazing.
Yeah, I like the art. It reminds me of like, I mean, like old school, like underground comic style.
Yeah. It definitely has like that, Tales from the Crypt type illustrations.
This is like a horror comic. Yeah, it has horror imagery all over it.
And I guess it was originally like the covers were in color, but the actual comic itself was a black and white comic. And it wasn't until much later that they became, you know, color prints. And she later changed in the 70s to like, they call it like the fotonovelas, right?
Yeah, I saw those when I was looking them up. I saw there was fotonovelas. I was like, oh shit, I didn't even know they did those for Ermelinda. I thought that was pretty cool.
And I guess that was, that would be like the inspiration to what the movie became.
I think that's what it is, yeah.
Ermelinda Linda ran for 37 years. It was created by a guy named Fausto Buendía, and it was illustrated by Jose Cabezas, and later by Joaquin Mejia, and Pedro Nunez took over the reins for that. And I would love to get some of these original issues just to see how the art changed based off, because I guess the original illustrator was the illustrator for, I mean, almost its entire run. Yeah. And it wasn't until later, probably right before they turned to the fotonovelas, that, you know, it was a different illustrator. Yeah. That I would assume that the art changed, but I don't know. Who knows? And the whole thing was based off of a fictional city, Bondogia, which I guess I later learned that it kind of represents a different colonia in Mexico City called Bondojito, which I guess is like one of the more dangerous colonias, or at least at that time was one of the more dangerous.
Okay, that I didn't know.
Yeah. I mean, I read a little bit into it, cause after watching the movie, I was like, you know, this movie, it was fucking sick. And you know, you learn that it's about a comic book, and you're like, all right, well, let me learn about the comic. I'm not a comic person. But I know a lot of people are, so I kind of wanted to, you know, get a little bit of history on that. And reading that, that's when I learned that, you know, I don't know if that's official, but that's kind of what is assumed, just based off of the name change and how similar it is to the Bondojito neighborhood in Mexico City.
Awesome.
Let's get into it. The movie itself was made in 1984, so you're looking at like a 20-year gap between when this comic started and when the movie, you know, is actualized. It's directed by Julio Aldama, who, some people would know Terror en los Barrios, but most people would know because he directed Chiqui Dráculas as well, which is like a staple.
Yeah, and then before directing movies, he was a big actor in the 50s and 60s and 70s. He was always an antagonist. Uh-huh. He was a bad guy.
Did he start as an actor?
That's how he started. Yeah, he was an actor, and then later on, like that's during the 60s and 70s, is when he started making movies on his own. And then he brought in his family, his sons, two sons.
One of his sons is in this movie. Yeah. Right?
Julio Aguirre. Yeah, he goes under Julio Aguirre.
I wonder, he probably just didn't want to be known as a nepo baby or something.
Probably. That's kind of how they all are. Yeah. I mean, that's one of those things. That's like a lot of them are nippos. So.
Well, I mean, as we've been saying since basically episode one, Mexican cinema is a very, it's like family dynasties
and friends
that run it.
And then betrayals. Yeah, it's dramatic in the camera, outside of the camera, and in the screens. It's like, it's so funny. That's what I love about it.
It's a family affair, man. You know, I was thinking about this because it makes tracking these movies a little easier because there's like a line there, but there's still not enough information out there in the public. Mm-hmm. So once you like start realizing like, oh, okay, this person worked with them. They were cousins of this, or the son of this.
That's literally how it all started for me. These 15 years, it's like, okay, this person's related. Like Adolfo, for example. Like, I didn't even know his dad was Gilberto.
Uh-huh.
I was like, oh, that makes fucking perfect sense now. And then that's when I looked and I was like, oh, so his brother-in-law, blah, blah, blah. You know, everything just starts connecting. You know?
Yeah.
It's awesome. That's what I love about it.
And so hopefully, you guys, the listeners, are starting to connect the dots, because there's a lot of dots to connect. And there's even some, I'm about to say who produced this movie. And there's already a connection between Ermelinda Linda and Santo, which is kind of crazy. This movie was produced by Julio Adalma as well, and also co-produced by Fernando Osés, who basically got like the production or Santo to start being in movies. He produced the early Santo movies as well.
And he was a wrestler himself.
So, you know, there's so many ties. And that was kind of by coincidence. I didn't really realize that until after I started reading it. I was like, oh, shit. Yeah. Fernando Osés was, you know, so we didn't do it on purpose. We're back-to-back episodes. Fernando Osés was
part of it. It's just one of those things where it's like, it's, you know, they're all connected somehow. Because it's such a, it's a small community, at least back then, you know.
And it's,
everybody knew each other then. You know,
it's about to get even smaller, because guess who was the cinematographer for Ermelinda Linda, people? Alfredo Uribe, who was a cinematographer for Intrepidos Punks and Venganza de los Punks.
Those are the ones that he knew. Yeah, when I looked at his filmography, I was like, oh, wow. And then he did a lot of the Santo stuff in the 70s, too.
I'm telling you guys, get your notes out and start taking notes, because there's a correlation to everything in Mexican cinema, you know? And so it stars Evita Muñoz, who was known as Chachita. She was like a childhood actress. She's the main star in Ermelinda. She plays Ermelinda Linda.
Yeah,
but she was a child actress, and in the golden age of Mexican cinema. Yeah, she got
in Nosotros los Pobres, which is probably one of the most iconic Mexican movies ever made. And then, yeah, she was a child actress for a while, and then like when she got older, she got chubbier. She got more filled
as we all do.
Yeah. And then she just started like doing comedic roles, just like this loudmouth woman, you know, dancing around or like singing sometimes, or like being like a flirt to like younger guys.
That's something that runs rampant in Mexico. There's a lot of weird flirtation with younger gals and guys.
Yeah, so that's kind of how she was known for later on in her life. But it was still good for her, you know. She obviously had fun doing this, and then she got to play Ermelinda Linda, which is an honor, I think.
It's a very historic comic book. You know, it's one of the most well-known comics of Mexico's comic book history.
I didn't even recognize her. Like, the way they did her makeup and everything and the prosthetics, I actually didn't even notice it was Chachita at first.
Well, yeah, you look at the Ermelinda Linda herself, she's got like this, you know, the typical witch nose, you know, like long and pointed. Mm. She's got like warts on her nose and her cheeks and stuff. Yeah. She's got one lazy eye that's like looking to the left, the other one's looking straight.
Yeah.
Nappy hair, like she looks really gross. So you look at Chachita, like especially like, you know, through the ages where, you know, she started off young, you cute little girl, and then you get to Ermelinda Linda, she's completely different. Yeah,
Chachita's like this, she looks like everybody's tia. Like, you all have a tia that looks like that.
You have a friend of a family
looks like that. I don't know.
She like, even the clothes that Ermelinda Linda wears is like almost like grandma style clothes.
And it's authentic to the comic too. Like, when you look at the comic book and everything, the way she dressed, like, man, they really nailed it.
They did a really good job.
The costume designer did an excellent job, and the makeup too.
I don't know who the makeup are. I don't know.
I didn't look into that.
Yeah, I don't. Sure, I should have looked into it.
Yeah, me too.
But
I fucked up right there. Yeah.
You know, we can't do everything, guys. We can't do everything.
Whoever did, they did an amazing job. They read the comic books for sure, and we're like looking at the pages clearly.
Absolutely.
And the photo novellas probably too.
The cool thing, you know, Chachita, she was known for a lot of stuff, but I'm just going to name a couple things that some people might have seen her in. She very minor background roles, so if you don't know who she is, you wouldn't know, but she was in an episode of Columbo, everyone knows Columbo, you know. One of my favorite American comedies, Romancing the Stone.
I feel like a lot of Mexican actors were in that movie.
I think they filmed it in Mexico.
But then it's like it's credited, but then it's like, where are they?
I mean,
one of those things. So she's one of those. Yeah,
she's one. When I was reading it, she's one. She plays like one of the heavier set Mexican women's when they're in the little pueblito, when they're at the central.
Yeah,
I guess there's like a hefty Mexican woman that.
Yeah, that movie, and then what's the other one? I forget what the other one, but there's a lot of movies like that where there's like so many Mexican actors, and it's like, what? In a minor role? In a Hollywood movie?
And so the, I guess the second star of the movie would be Julio Aldama himself, who plays Brigidio Pachochas. And he, I guess he's like a slumlord and a, I don't know if he's like a lawyer or some type, but he's like an entrepreneur, slumlord, like business guy in this movie.
And he's a bad guy, so we'll see. Julio Aldama.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And his son plays Nabor, who is like the young version of Julio Aldama's character, right?
Yeah, like basically like his son. Yeah.
There's Ruby Rey, who plays Ermelinda Linda's daughter. And, of course, she's, like, the only one. She's like, training to be a witch, but she doesn't look like a witch. You know, yeah. She looks like her typical self. It's like gorgeous as ever. It's
like the monsters, like Marilyn.
So yeah, exactly. Yeah, they knew what they were doing. They get one hot girl in here, and, you know, she can play the...
Yeah, the name sounded familiar, so I started looking into her filmography, and I was like, yeah, she was in, like, Pedro Navaja and all that, but, like, not really big roles, but she stood out in those movies, because she's so really pretty.
Yeah, oh, yeah, she's absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, and then she did some fotonovelas before that, and then, yeah, she retired, like, after the 80s were over, she retired.
Just fell off the face of the earth.
Fell off the face of the earth.
Yeah, that's kind of how it goes, right? You're either a star, or you're, you know, you're kind of a recognizable face, and then you just disappear.
Yeah. So that's kind of a shame. I was like, oh, would have been curious to see more of her. But yeah, that was it.
And then I'm just going to mention off one more person because she actually kind of plays an integral role in this movie as well. Her name is Maria Cardinal. And she plays the young version of Ermelinda Linda.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, we'll get into the plot and the some storyline topics, but... you know, there's a point in time in the movie where Ermelinda Linda is young and beautiful, and you know she plays off of Ruby Rey's character Adeline. But she's noticeable too because she was in the Lola La Trailera movies, you know, those are pretty. That's a pretty big franchise. Yeah. You know, Mexican movie fans would know that movie.
Oh yeah, for sure.
So let's get into it a little bit. The actual movie itself. You know, there's a lot of good things to like about it. Like the comedy is comedic, but it's not over the top.
Yeah, it's just like slapstick, I want to say.
Yeah, something pretty. Like that, yeah, I mean, it's like typical Mexican comedy, I guess you could say, because it's like very witty.
Yeah,
there are, you know, the Mexican tropes. There's a gay guy character. Of course, there's always a gay guy character in a Mexican movie. Yeah. That's always like the brunt of the joke.
Yeah.
You know, fast, witty punchlines, and of course, there's always a live band playing in the movie. So,
Reyes salió del pueblo con ilusiones de trabajar. De sus tierras vendió el arado y cargó luego a la capital. Llegó el Tepito, sellos sus reales, pero la feria se le acabó. Vendió sombrero, también huaraches, que hasta los dientes los empeñó. Borrachaba en la cantina cuando la suerte lo iluminó.
Pretty typical. If you like Mexican comedies, you'll definitely like this. But it opens up very, I don't want to say hocus pocus, and I think that's what most people would compare this to. But I don't, that's just the easy comparison.
Yeah.
But it's not a hocus pocus movie. But it opens up on, you know, their version of Halloween, but they were calling it Dia de los Brujos.
Yeah.
And there's a very, like, a very great soundtrack to the opening of this, like a very synthesized driven soundtrack.
Mm, that was something that me and Joey pointed out at each other, like, yeah, the music's great.
The music in this is fucking fantastic.
I noted that too.
Yeah. There's multiple scenes of music in here, but the intro is like, there's like kids trick-or-treating and they're like, you know, trying to get candy or whatever, and it's like intercut with Ermelinda Linda and her coven of witches making like a potion or whatever, but it looks like a pulque, but they're obviously making like a potion.
Yeah.
And it's like a jazz, like a smooth jazz soundtrack, and it's like cutting in between the neighborhoods where you see like an old guy yelling at the kids and stuff. Oh, so yeah. It definitely kind of sets the mood of like the horror aspect, if you will, of Erme Linda Linda. And the soundtrack was done by Eduardo Casanova. And I try to look up, you know, his music.
Yeah, me too. I didn't find that.
I'm sure like there's.
It might have been like a stage name, like a alternate name. Maybe I'm thinking.
I found like some random like Mexican LPs that are just kind of like comps that he was a part of.
Oh. Okay.
But I mean, there's no way to tell that if that was gonna. And I'm not gonna buy, you know, random jazz compilations of Mexico just to see if. I mean, I guess I should, but.
Only if you really want to.
Yeah, if you really want to.
But if you want to.
And it's like there's like this very smooth jazz. I'll play a clip of it right now. But it's like a scene where there's like they're all dancing in like by the pot.
No, that scene is amazing. Yeah, and then they're all just dancing. Like it's just such a vibe. It's like, oh my god, this is so good. When I first watched that movie, I was like, oh, this is gonna be a great one. As soon as that scene was going on, I was like, oh, this is gonna be good.
It's for the girls that like it spooky.
Yeah, literally, this is a spooky girl movie right here. It is Summerween or whatever.
Summerween, is that a thing?
Is that what they're calling it? I forgot what it's called.
Oh my god. Yeah. There's always something new.
So
man.
Yeah, we got your summer wee movie.
The central plot of Erme Linda Linda basically is, you know, she's a witch and she basically is trying to save her community from basically being gentrified and taken over. Because I guess there's Brigidio is trying to, or they call them Pachochas in the movie. So we'll just go by Pachochas. Pachochas is trying to basically eliminate all like the people in the neighborhood and you know, buy out the apartments and renovate, you know, gentrify the neighborhood.
Yeah,
basically what's going on in Mexico right now.
Yeah.
And she's there to save that basically. So she uses her witchcraft to fuck with these like the main fools
scare them out basically.
Yeah. But in between there's a lot of fun stuff. So like one of the first scenes, you know, she's asked to rejuvenate an old man. And he's like, I want to look like Jorge Rivera, which for those who don't know, you know, he's a very, you know, very established actor. But for the horror fans, he was the main actor in Conquest by Lucio Fulci. Yeah. So you would know him, you know, he's the main guy. He's buff as shit. He's a very suave, you know, everyone, like the prototypical manly man of Mexico of the time. So I thought it was hilarious that, you know, a little meta there, you know. But yeah, so she goes to like a graveyard to, I guess she has like a pact with the graveyard guy.
Yeah, everybody in the neighborhood is just like connected to her somehow.
I mean, that's, you know, because she's helpful. Yeah. That's why she's the savior of the town, right?
Yeah.
She basically has to go and get like body parts that she's going to use in her potion to rejuvenate this young man who coincidentally works for Pachochas. Mm-hmm. And so that's the connection there. And so once she, you know, gives this guy the potion, he's young, he goes to Pachochas. He's like, yeah, like, you know, look at me. Like, you know, I'm going to get all the girls now. Yeah, no, so stupid.
Yeah, that was Julio Guirio. So Julio Adama's son. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's who Julio Adama's son plays, the rejuvenated old man.
¿Qué pasó, Apo? ¿Qué onda?
Oh, qué bueno que vino, lindita. Me acaban de llegar 3 fresquecitos. ¿Qué va a llevar ahora?
Pues 20 kilos de aguayón. Necesito vulcanizar un viejo rabo verde que quiere verse chavo.
Ah, pues vamos a mi oficina.
Vamos.
¿Qué le parece de aquí?
No, no está re flaco. Este debe haber sido ejidatario.
Venga para acá. Por acá me llegaron dos bailarines. Y estos sí traen lo que usted quiere.
Caray. Estos están muy bien dados. Uh-huh. ¿Y este patón?
Es un pobre cartero. Que lo atropelló un camión. Pero ahí le tengo guardados los calcetines. Ya ve que a veces le hacen falta.
Gracias, Apolinar. Necesito que me consigas unos pulmones en muy buen estado, porque tengo que hacer un trasplante a un burócrata que se la pasa fumando y leyendo cuentos.
Cuente con ello, lindita.
And so he's basically like, yeah, okay, let's fucking let's get a party going. Let's invite some girls. And Ermelinda Linda's daughter, Arlene,
She gets invited
by Pachochas as like his little his side piece, his little trophy girlfriend. And of course, you know, that's when like the part. I don't remember the name of the band though. Do you remember the name of the band?
I don't remember the band. No.
They show up at Pachocha's house with a bunch of old businessmen. Of course, she's there to service them, and he tells her, bring some friends.
Yeah.
And that's when Ermelinda Linda,
she
drinks her own potion, and she's young, and, you know, of course, she's hot, smoking hot, but it's time. She can only be young and hot for a certain amount of time.
So, yeah.
So, of course, naturally, what happens is she goes to this party and she runs out of time. So she's like, fuck. Like, she starts getting warts and her feet starts to expand.
Her feet are getting chubby again.
So, of course, she has to fly home on a... Was it a vacuum?
I think it was a vacuum.
Yeah, it was a vacuum. She uses a vacuum cleaner to fly home.
She uses a vacuum cleaner. She rushes home and then,
oh, man. Yeah. It's super silly, man. But, I wrote it down here. Flying vacuum. I just lost my train of thought now. I'm looking at my notes, writing down, and I can't even remember. But, I wrote it down here. The band singing at the pool party scene is Los Alcantara.
Oh, okay.
This is all coming back. I did write it down, and I did look them up. Oh, and I found records of them from 1983, 1984, and 85.
Oh, okay.
So hopefully one of those songs is one of the songs that was in the party scene.
Yeah.
So there's a possibility of a Ermelinda Linda unofficial soundtrack record out there. there's like a scene in here where it's very like poltergeisty. There's a scene where like there's, it's Nabor who... I don't remember if he like if his transformation was timed as well, but there's a scene where inside the house at the party, he starts to melt. And you remember the scene in Poltergeist when looking at the mirror, like the famous scene, he starts to melt and shit. It's almost an exact copy of that, and I thought it was really fucking cool.
Yeah, that thing was.
Cool. He like turns into a skull and is all gross and shit. I don't know. It was. There's horror aspects that kind of like blend in. I would say this is more of a comedy than a horror.
Yes, I was going to say it's more of a comedy, but there's definitely a lot of horror imagery in it.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think it's like fun horror, like child-friendly horror, you can say.
Yeah, this is definitely something you can watch with like kids, pretty much everybody in the family.
I mean, I assume this was made for kids. But
it seems like it, yeah. The humor was pretty like light. It wasn't too inappropriate. Like, I don't even think there was anything really inappropriate in it either.
No, they saved the inappropriate jokes for part two.
that's the one I just studied to see, yeah.
Yes, for those wondering, Ermelinda Linda does have a sequel.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it in a little bit because
I didn't watch it, but Joey did. Though.
Yeah, I watched it. I was curious, and I was like, well, let's see what happens. Yeah. But, all that to say, like, towards the end of the movie, Pachochas finally figures out that Ermelinda Linda was behind all the trouble and the grief that he was facing with, like, the public. Because there's, like, the public outroar where, you know, they start to turn on them and they start like, I guess like his business people or investors, whatever, show up and they're like throwing rocks at their car and shit. So he figures out that Ermelinda Linda was the one who was responsible for it all. So he decides he's going to kidnap Arlene as bait because he figures out that she is Ermelinda Linda's daughter. And apparently witches have telepathy because she ends up talking like telepathically to her mom. Come save me. I'm at Pachocha's office. And her powers to convert or to magically, you know, I don't know what the word is, but change into like inanimate objects or whatever. She converts herself into a roach so she can sneak into Pachocha's office.
That's pretty smart, actually.
I mean, you know, it's smart, but I mean, in Mexico, you see a roach and what do you fucking stomping the shit out of it, you know? So she ran the risk of getting herself killed, but all for the name of saving her daughter, you know? Yeah. I don't know. That shit was hilarious. But, you know, she ends up saving Arlene and, you know, saves the town. But, you know, the whole thing apparently was just a flashback, which I thought was kind of a... I fucking hate in movies when it turns out to just be a flashback.
Yeah, you feel almost cheated by that. I don't know. It's that feeling of you're like, man, that was what?
Yeah, like if it's a flashback or like a dream that something that never happened. Okay, well, the dreams, yeah. When it's a dream, shit, yeah, it's a little like, oh man. Yeah, but you know.
But it all works out still. Like it's still fun and everything, you know. You're still satisfied. Once you're done watching it, you're like, oh yeah, this was fun.
It's super fun, but you know, it also like. You know, I don't consider myself like a film reviewer or something. Yeah. I don't like to peel back too many layers of stuff. Yeah. I just like to watch movies for enjoyment. But it's pretty obvious that this movie has, you know, underlying topics of like classism, you know, like chauvinism, capitalism. It. Exactly. Like it deals with so many different topics in fun ways that where I guess if you were an adult, you can watch it with your kid and be like, oh, okay, you get like a broader story and kids can watch it and just be like, hey, this is fun.
Like a Pixar movie, for example. That's a lot of Pixar movies.
Like. Yeah, yeah. There's always some kind of like emotional underlying theme. Something for the grown-ups
to understand.
Too, but yeah, like there's like, you know, they're abusive to the women. You know, Pachochas hates his wife. You know, and she's just like an endearing, like, I guess she's an older woman at the time, but, you know, she's very subservient to him. And of course, he takes advantage of that until the end of the movie where he's like, finally, okay, I love you, babe, you know, that type of shit. You know, classism, you know, because the most of the people that are in the town are, of course, of darker skin.
Darker skin and then lower class.
Lower class. And, you know, that's still a battle that happens in Mexico to this day. Yeah. You know, the colorism in Mexico is a very, very real thing. The darker skin you are in Mexico, the lower you're looked at from the upper class, like whiter skin Mexicans. So, again, like, you know, these movies, while they're goofy, they're funny or whatever, there's something to actually, you know, cut back the layers of and you know, find a true story there, which is always fun. But, you know, I don't know. I like I said, I don't like to be like the fucking Siskel and Ebert and shit. I know when we first started this podcast, Armando made sure, like, yeah, you know, we don't want to go too deep, you know, but
sometimes you kind of have to.
You kind of have to sometimes. Yeah.
You kind of have to. But then there's movies where you don't need to, which will be for the next one.
Yeah. Well, you know, Oh, we'll talk about it.
Yeah.
Then,
we'll get into it in a moment.
Just to touch on Ermelinda Linda 2. I don't even know how to describe this movie. It's.
From the way you told me, I was like, oh, wow, this is different.
It definitely does not have the same feel as the first one. Like, very obvious that it was kind of a cash in. Like, Ermelinda Linda had to have been successful. So they're like, fuck it, let's do part two. You know, it's the same writer director, different, oddly enough though, it was a different production company that was listed for part two, but you know, obviously it's the same guy. It was Producciones Aldama. But yeah, so anyways, yeah, so part two, you know, not to get too deep into it, but somehow she's involved with like the FBI of Mexico. And she gets tasked to intercept a Soviet nuclear war, or bomb, I should say, rather. Yeah. So naturally, there's going to be a lot of racist jokes against the Russians. Oh, wow. the Chinese, yeah. And somehow there's racist jokes about Arabs in this movie as well. So I know some people don't like this, to...
this sounds very 80s for sure.
Very 80s, and it just doesn't... I don't know, like, it's hard. Like I said, it's hard to explain because the jokes, while I guess I can see that they're funny, they just don't land like they do in the first one. And, I would say out of the runtime, 80% of it is just kind of racist jokes and tropes about, the Chinese, Arabs, and Russians. And there's a lot of toxic masculinity, again, in part two. There's even jokes about AIDS in part two, because by that time, AIDS is already like a thing, and of course, I don't want to say of course, because I actually don't remember, but I think it was a joke about gay men and AIDS.
Yeah, it would make sense for the time. Like I said, it's one of those things where it's like, it's a product of its time. It's not to say it's a good thing, but it's like, it is what it was for that time,
Yeah.
That was the humor then, That could be said about any movie, from another country too.
Absolutely. Yeah. But, it's, there's like a weird dream sequence where the mom of Ermelinda Linda, who was in the original one as well, she's back in this one.
Is she in the coffin
still? She's in the coffin still. She's pissed off because she can't, same thing as part one. I didn't talk about it, but she can't get no damn sleep. So she's mad at the world, but there's a dream sequence where she's dressed up in like full astronaut outfit.
Oh my God.
And she fucking blows up the world. As an astronaut with the nuclear war bomb, I should say.
That's dark.
Yeah, so I mean, it's it gets crazy. And then they reuse the same a smooth jazz soundtrack as they did in the first one. Mm. So that scene where they're dancing by the it's the same song. Yeah. Okay. So, cool. Worth a watch? Yeah, probably. Just to complete the circle of Ermelinda Linda, but. It's not as good as the first one, unfortunately. Yeah. And if it came out on the Blu-ray, I would assume it would come out as a double pack, and I would get it. But I don't know if
by itself.
Yeah, I don't know.
It'd rather be the first movie, though.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And they're both on Tubi, so you guys can
Oh yeah, that's what caught me by surprise.
Yeah. People can watch them for sure. And if there's no English subtitles, unfortunately, for those who don't speak Spanish, but. Yeah. You can watch it and decide for yourself if Ermelinda Linda 1 or 2 is better. I would say part 1, obviously, but...
Yeah, I mean, I've only seen part 1, but that one is really good. And if you're into horror, comedy, 80s stuff, basically, it's one of those you have to watch for sure.
Yeah. It's super witty. Like we said, it's typical Mexican comedy, fast punchlines and kind of stupid, witty jokes. And there's always, dance numbers and hot girls and...
It's just one of those you have to watch.
And I guess Ermelinda Linda was kind of like right before, I think is right before the boom of the video home, right? Like before everything kind of transitioned into.
Yeah, there's still a lot of discrepancies with video homes, but I want to say the middle of 80s is when it was kind of blossoming.
Uh-huh.
And then it went from to the 90s where it really fucking
blew up, right?
It blew up, yeah.
And so the second movie we're talking about was part of the video home boom.
Yeah, part of the video home boom. So for those who don't know what a video home is, so let me school you in really quick. So video home, the way I like to describe it is it's popular cinema. And if you don't know what popular cinema is basically films that were popular with the public. That's what the public wanted to go see. So like back in the day, people wanted to see Santa movies. That was popular cinema. Cine popular, as they say it. So it was always genre stuff mostly. So, you got your horror, action, comedies, melodramas.
The shit that sells.
The shit that sells, yeah. That was the popular cinema. Whether you agree or disagree, because I know a lot of people are like, well, if it was popular and it wasn't good, it's like, well, even if it wasn't good, people still want to go see it.
Yeah, I mean, that argument is tired.
A whole stigma where it's like, well, why is it called popular food? It's not a good movie. And it's like, well, maybe it was a good movie if people want to go see it.
People conflate this thing because just because it's not good doesn't mean that it's not popular. Like, I mean, it's just like there's terrible movies that make tons of fucking money because people just want to watch the shit,
That's what tells you, exactly. So, so popular cinema, it's like lucha stuff, all that stuff, genre stuff. And then during the 80s, like the mid to late 80s, that's when the cinema in Mexico was just in decline, as they say. It was already a crisis, as they say. Not a lot of money was coming in anymore. People weren't really interested. So in the 90s, it's like, well, we want to keep this, you know, a lot of these people from those eras, you know, from back in the day, they wanted to still work, you know, and keep their friends working too. So it's like, well, hey, let's just make these movies, but let's make the budget smaller. Let's get a little bit of money, not too much. We'll go to a town or something. We'll go shoot it in, I don't know, fucking somewhere near Guadalajara. Make a movie there for a week. Put it on video. And that's how it started. It's like, we're going to make these movies for the video market, you know, because that was already like a growing market.
I mean, it'd be the same thing as like the shot on video shit here exactly. in the
yeah.
States.
Yep. That's how it was. Yeah.
Get a camera, get your friends, make a movie in a week or exactly. in a month and just fucking put it out there and sell it to somebody.
Yeah, exactly. So they weren't shooting on 35 anymore. They were shooting in 16mm. Sometimes it was just shot on Betamax tapes or whatever. And that's how it started with that. So with Caguama's Ninja. So this is a product from 1991.
No hay problema. Son las Caguamas Ninja.
Such a weird year for video homes, because when you look at the filmographies for a lot of these actors that were in those movies, 91
just churning and burning.
Yeah, they
these
were
movies,
just churning yeah. left and right. It's crazy. And I was just like, okay, so if this was like low budget, where was the money coming from? It's like, all right. So I did do some digging one time, like a long time ago, and I was like, why was there so many movies coming in 91? And it turns out, I mean, without giving names or anything, let's just say, yeah, there was crime involved.
I didn't even have to say it. I already knew
it was money. It was. Yeah, there was a lot of money laundering going on, you know, in particular in 90 and 91. And of course, they were putting it into music, television, and films. Not the big films that you were seeing in theaters, but the films you were renting in the video store. So, yeah.
I mean, yeah.
So, but like I said, I don't know if these people, the ones that make Obama's interview, were involved in that, but probably. It wouldn't doubt it. Because, you know, these guys, the producers, they just popped up out of nowhere. So, Caguama's Ninjas, it was produced by a guy named Guillermo Jaime Alariz, or Francisco Guillermo Jaime Alariz. And he opened up a production company called Producciones Laser in 1989. And, yeah, he was pretty active for, like, a good while, until 2020 when he died. And then his partner, Omar A. Gonsenheim, he opened up a production company called Fiesta Films.
Uh-huh.
Which he then opened up his own video label called Cinemex Home Video, which was based in San Diego.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And then he's featured in the book of Robert Rodriguez's book, Rebel Without a Crew, because Robert Rodriguez, when he was selling Mariachi, he was going through all the video label companies. Mm-hmm. So he was traveling from LA, San Diego, Chula Vista, whatever. And he visited Gonsenheim. And then it's funny because he's like telling him like, hey, you know, I have this movie, and then they play the movie and they're, you know, in the company or whatever. And the company was like a store too, which was cool. So imagine
like a video store.
Yeah, he had his own video store with Cinemex, and then on the top was like the offices and shit. So it's pretty cool. So they were watching the movie, the Mariachi, the first 10 minutes at the video store, and people were there, I guess, renting shit or whatever, buying stuff. And they were just like, whoa, what's this movie? And Gonsenheim was like, well, I want to buy it, but I don't have enough money.
how do you not have enough money for that? The movie was made for like nothing.
I know. So that's when he was kind of like telling him like, well, the business isn't doing as good as it seems. And, you know, and he thinks, you know, he's like, you know, I'm just going to be straight up. You know, the movie looks like it's too good for us. You know, that's kind of what he was telling him in the book. So it's like, you're better off selling this to like Hollywood or something, you know. And then that Robert Rodriguez was like, so do you even like the movies that you make? And that Gonsenheim was like, no. He just looked at him and he said no. So yeah, so a lot of these guys, I mean, if they were making these, yeah, they half of them weren't even like into movies. They were just, it was just a business venture,
a business, yeah, straight
or
up.
Money laundering. I don't know about Gonsenheim, but from what I saw, Gonsenheim now, like, he's not in film anymore, but he's living pretty well off. I saw pictures where he's like in Aspen and all this other shit, you know,
California. beautiful.
Yeah, all this like really like, yeah, he's living life very comfortably, you know. So whatever he was doing then, it's paid off now, you know.
I mean, it's safe to say that, I mean, you can do your own research of the 90s and who were the major crime bosses. Because I don't want to say no names either, but yeah, it's pretty obvious that they were laundering their money in yeah, these type of exactly, ventures.
Yeah. Oh yeah, and like I said, I've asked people before, and they're like, oh yeah, they were close friends with so and so. I was like, oh okay.
I mean, you know. Don't ask. So, don't tell. If someone was like, here's all this money to make your stupid fucking movie,
yeah,
are you gonna turn it down? No, of course not.
Exactly. Yeah.
Anything to make a movie and make a quick buck, you know.
Yeah, and then like I said, these video homes were made so fucking cheaply. It's like you can make dozens of movies a year. You don't have to make 3 movies a year. You can make like 12 movies a year.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So that's how Cinemix was working. You know, Cinemix was busy when they opened in like the late 80s, and the 90s is when they were in the home video market already. And a lot of their movies are just comedies from what I've noticed. It's mostly comedies, some action stuff, some horror stuff, quote unquote.
Because comedy is cheapest to make. You don't need to have explosions, car chases. You don't need a makeup effect. You just need a stupid, silly joke, and that's
exactly
it.
Exactly. So in case of Kawama's Ninja, I mean, they literally just shot this movie in Monterrey, Nuevo León.
And I would guess 3 days they shot.
Probably,
this
or even like a week. Yeah. So Kawama's Ninjas. So for those who don't know, Kawama's Ninjas is a parody of Ninja Turtles, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, to be exact. And it's not what you think it is. Like, you're probably like, oh, maybe this is gonna be kind of cool. It's like, no, it's pretty fucking crappy, but it's a good crappy.
I thought it was hilarious because for those who don't know what a kawama is, it's
a slang for like a turtle, and then the beer too, the big kawama, the 32-ounce beer. Yeah,
yeah, because the big beers are shaped like the body of a turtle.
Yeah, the body of a turtle, and it's big and it's affordable. I've seen dudes in Mexico that I know drink like 10 of them, and it's like, fuck.
Listen, I don't drink anymore, but when I was a teenager in Mexico, I mean, it was either you go get kawamas or you go get a bottle of tequila and you're getting fucked up.
Yeah, it was one of those things. It's like, yeah, you're going to get a kawama. And I've seen dudes drink a bunch. It still trips me out when I seen dudes just drinking a bunch. And it's like, how?
I mean,
how does the body consume all of that?
You know, it's just something that people do, you know?
Yeah, so that's what they're based on. So Kawama's Ninjas, and then these guys, you know, they're not teenagers. They're older, fat guys. To be exact, they're comedic actors. They're legendary comedy actors, actually. So you got Pedro Weber, Chattanooga, Guillermo Rivas, El Borras, and then Gaston Padilla. And then the other guy wasn't a comedy actor, but he was actually kind of a popular actor during the 80s. Leo, what was it? Ernesto Yanez, and then the other people in the movie, like, they're also really in, they were also in very popular movies back in the day. You got Felicia Mercado, this beautiful blonde bombshell. She's in this Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles parody.
Mm-hmm.
You got Ernesto Gomez Cruz, who was in like a bunch of famous movies in the 80s too. And then Leonelita Ochoa, another one again. And then you're probably thinking, why were these like actors, these famous actors in this cheap ass movie? And again, it's like, well, this is a perfect example of the whole video home market. You're gonna make a low budget movie, you're gonna hire whoever wants the work, you know. And the work back then was not a lot, so it's like if they were done with one big thing, they had to do a bunch of little stuff in between.
I mean, you know,
like Felicia Mercado, she was in plenty of novellas back then, and then it's like, okay, novellas are over, she's not getting cast. It's like, well, what? She needs to work, she needs to, you know, pay her bills. Fuck it, I'm about to start in this fucking comedy about Ninja Turtles. So yeah, so you're always gonna see big names in these like really shitty movies, or like good but shitty movies, you know.
Yeah,
in other
yeah,
words,
yeah.
Yeah,
my thing with this is that I'm not big into comedy, so when it's like a low budget comedy, I'm just like, oh
yeah,
my god. So this was a tough watch for me. This is like, you know, those like shitty like 90s like below National Lampoon type movies, like the bootleg National Lampoons. This is even worse than those movies. So
yeah, this is not a good one. I'm not gonna say I hated it, but I didn't say it was a good movie either.
I mean, we'll talk about it once we get into like the plot and you know, break it down. Yeah, but yeah,
so let me break it down. I'm gonna read it off from my old review.
No, I mean, before you start, I just wanted to ask, because I don't know, this is my assumption. I don't know if this is true or if you did any research on this, but I have to assume that Carta Blanca was somehow a producer in this movie as well. Like, they had to have been chipping off.
I mean, they were filming in Monterrey, and then the brewery's there.
I mean, this whole story is just Carta. There's a Carta Blanca in every fucking scene of this movie.
Yeah, I mean, it's Carta Blanca is one of the beers sold there, and then brewed there too, which is, let's see.
They're like the Natty Ice of American beer for Mexico. Yeah. Like, it's such a low tiered beer, like the proletariat beer, you know, like the working man's beer.
Yeah. So let me see. I lost my notes. Hold on. Yeah. So of course, you know, being in Monterrey, the beer there is Carta Blanca, and then it's part of the Cervecería Cuauhtémoc Moctezuma, which is a major brewery in Monterrey. So, of course, that's why, you know. Yeah. I'm sure they probably asked the people there, too, you know, like, hey, can we use the beer for the movie? Of course. And then throughout the whole movie, you're going to see nothing but Carta Blanca.
This is not an exaggeration. If there's not an actual Carta Blanca in the scene, they're talking about Carta Blanca. There's every fucking scene possible. Exactly. There's something about Carta Blanca.
Yeah. So let me break it down. So in Las Caguamas Ninjas, three old fat dudes, Pedro Weber Chattanooga, Guillermo Rivas, Ernesto Yanez, dress up like Ninja Turtles to defend their beloved Carta Blanca beer. They also happen to work at the Carta Blanca brewery. Naturally, some local gangsters decide to take over the beer market in town by selling imported beer instead of the domestic stuff. Thus, they forced the local shopkeepers to sell the imported beer only. Some business owners then start selling the imported beer, and that's a big no-no for the Caguamas Ninjas and their short brewery boss, who's played by Gaston Padilla. They must save Mexican beer before it is taken over by the lame imported beer. So, yeah, in the movie, they're like, any other beer that's not Carta Blanca is crap.
Pero chipetiza, si ya está permitido los productos de importación, ¿por qué vos no estás enterada?
Ya lo sé, pero tenemos que inundar los mercados de nuestros productos de importación. Mira, si ustedes ven unas cervezas del país, inmediatamente hay que cambiarlas por unas cervezas de importación. ¿Eh? ¿Más claro lo querés?
There's very, what's the word I'm looking for? Like when the little mafia thugs that try to, you know, impose this thing, there's very like anti, what's the word I'm looking for? They're very, I don't know. I don't know what I'm trying to say.
I mean, the only thing I could say is, yeah, these guys are super anti Mexican beer. They're just like, we're going to sell American beer. We're not going to sell Carta Blanca. You're going to sell this stuff that we got. Cause I guess, I'm assuming, I mean, they don't really say, but I think I'm assuming is that they got like a bunch of beer from, you know, America. So it's like, okay, well, now we got to get rid of it. How are we going to get rid of it? We can't just sell it ourselves. So that's when they start threatening these shops and they're like, hey, you're going to start selling this or else, you know.
You know, there's, I'm going to be the devil's advocate here. I know I just said I don't like to peel back layers and get really deep into this movie, but it made me think, like, was there some kind of like nationalistic like thing happening in Mexico at the time where people were preferring imported items over Mexican made items and consumption in Mexico?
Kinda, yeah, I think you got something there going. Yeah,
because there's like the entire movie. This is how crazy it is. The group of thugs that want to impose this ban on Mexican products are Argentinians.
That was another thing.
But they're importing American goods.
Yeah.
And the whole movie is just, there's a lot of anti-Argentine jokes.
It's super weird.
Very racist against Argentines.
Yeah,
like,
it is, yeah.
So I was, I don't know, it's just super confusing.
No, yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. I mean, the movie should, but there's probably something going there, yeah. Which is obvious, too, in a way. But, you know.
I mean, it was the only way I can get through this movie was to try to find a deeper meaning in it. And I'm sure I dug way too deep to try to find a meaning.
No, that's an interesting thing. No, that is good, though. See, that's the thing. Because like I said, I mean, it's kind of going with Hermelinda Lina, where it's like, you know, there's something going on there between, you know, other than just the horror comedy aspect. It's like, no, there's something deep going here. And in Caguamas Ninjas, there's something kind of deep going, too. It's like, hey, you know, we got someone trying to like take away our products and sell shit that's probably not as good, you know? When they know we make the best shit, you know, like Mexican beer is always like seen as the best beer.
Yeah. It definitely touches like globalization, capitalism, consumerism.
Yeah.
It was the only way I can get through this movie was to try to find something there because I was struggling, man. I was struggling.
And these Ninja Turtles, you know, these Kawama's ninjas, they're very serious about it. They're like, no, you know, we can't. We're not going to allow this. You know, that's taking away. That's stripping off our culture, basically. taking away our jobs, you know, because they work at the brewery. So they're like, oh, hell no, you know. So then, of course, you see them. They put on the little headband. And then the top part is green. And then, my God, the costumes are so stupid.
They're worse than, like, the worst Party City costume that you
They obviously got, like, some cheap, like, Ninja Turtle mask to cover their head. And then they're wearing, like, these shirts. Remember the shirts? It says Cheers Beers or something.
Yeah.
It's so weird, yeah. And they don't know how to do karate, so they're just like, oh, wow, you know, like, super, like, you know, just ignorant comedy, like, quote-unquote comedy, like, you know, making kung fu noises.
There's even, you know how, like, Ninja Turtles love pizza? Well, these fools love chile. That powers them.
Actually, I forgot about that, yeah. Yeah, that's right, the chile.
They're like, we'll fight crime, but are you going to give us chile? And they're like, yeah, all right. This is such a weird fucking movie.
Yeah, the movie's just a mess.
Hay que animar a los muchachos. Van perdiendo 2-1. Hay que echarles una porra.
No, las porras ya no bastan. Necesitamos de su fuerza guerrera. ¿Dónde están esas caguamas? A ver.
Bueno, sí, pero ahorita no venimos uniformados, perdóname. Además, no traemos chiles.
Ay, miren, nuestra salvación ahí en el quitapón.
Ah, aquí está el amasillo.
Muchachos, los necesito.
Nosotros también te necesitamos urgentemente.
Pero es que lo mío es más importante.
No, más importante lo nuestro. Saca los chiles.
Está bien.
Ah, no es que la queremos, pero bien, hombre.
Todo el mundo la quiere, si no la va a querer. Bueno, ya ganamos, ¿no? Ya ganamos, ¿verdad? Bueno, pues ahora van a necesitar 3 veces más chile del que acaban de comer.
Ah, no importa. Venga, ya. Venga, hombre.
Bueno, vamos a nuestras oficinas.
Momento. Hoy es domingo. Hoy no se trabaja.
Los Caguamas Ninja siempre trabajan.
So, yes, of course, you know, so they're right there trying to fight off these mobsters or making sure that, you know, these stores are stocked with Carta Blanca beer. There's like a scene where they're dressed up and they're like bringing the cases in the truck. Yeah. It's just so, wow. Yeah, it's just weird.
There's even a Carta Blanca sponsored soccer team.
Oh, yeah. And like, then what this, the yeah, fuck? Like, everything is just Carta Blanca in the movie. Very much product placement, obviously.
I don't know.
It's a mess. The movie's just, it's not funny. Like, it tries to be funny. And then some parts that are funny, it's just not meant to be funny.
I think the only part that I genuinely laughed at was there's a scene where they get fed, like, I don't know if they're like tainted. Maybe they were imported chiles because they ate these chiles and they start tripping out and start like fighting each other and shit.
Oh, I think I remember.
they're at a park or something. I don't know. The movie's
just so bizarre. It's not funny. And if it is funny, like I did laugh, but it was just at parts that were not meant to be funny. Like the movie's just bad. But okay. It's one of those rare occurrences where I'm going to say it's a so bad, so good movie, I guess. I don't know. I hate saying that.
I fucking hate that.
I hate that too, but that's the only way I could, like, I guess, you know, redeem this movie. It's like, it's a shitty movie, but it's funny too. It's like, it's fun, you know? Like, I didn't have a bad time watching it, honestly. Me personally, at least.
It's not that I had a bad time watching it. It's just I'm so bad with comedy. Like, comedy is my least favorite genre of movie because I just don't find a lot of the jokes funny.
Yeah.
So, super low budget comedy.
Yeah, I can understand. God, yeah. This is, like, dumb. Yeah. But it's, I don't know. Just, I guess it's just up to the viewer, you know. It's like, you're either going to hate it, you're going to maybe kind of like it, or you're going to just think it's dumb, but it's fun, you know. And me, it's like, it's dumb, but it's fun, you know.
Well, I mean, look, I'm not to shit on anyone, because there is a large population of movie watchers that love, like, low-budget comedies, low budget movies in general that I think would enjoy this if they understood Spanish. Because I'm not even gonna guess that there's an English subtitle for this available anywhere.
I don't even know if I would want to personally. I'd probably be like, nah.
It would take too long for me to do subtitles for this movie to make it worth it.
Exactly.
But I don't know. They had to have taken it a little serious because there's two original Kawama Ninja songs in this movie.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Like in the opening scene, mm-hmm. they're driving around. That's another thing. We didn't even mention that. They have like their own little like mini car that looks like a turtle.
Oh yeah, that's
and they
right,
drive around the town and they're bumping this fucking Los Kawamas Ninja song. Yeah. You know, like it's
a silly scene too. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the whole movie's just bizarre. There's quirks in it. It's, I don't know.
The whole movie, like, I get
it's a trip. It's a whole trip, yeah.
There, like I said a little bit ago, like, the whole movie is, like, anti-Argentina. Mm. So there's a lot of racist jokes about Argentina, like, about how they speak primarily.
Yeah.
Like, they keep getting the Q and the K wrong. They keep getting the Y and the double L's yeah. wrong. Like, oh, my God. It was just...
It was just a weird one for sure.
And then it's, like, in the end, like, the... the Amaretos, that was the mob that was, you know, strong arming everybody. But Petisa was the leader of them. And towards the end, she's like, yeah, you know what? Fuck it. Let me get a Carta Blanca anyways. And then like her group was like, what the fuck? You're drinking a Carta Blanca? And she's like, well, I mean, it's good, but business is business. Yeah. I don't want to sell this shit. I'm going to sell American products.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Like, there's like.
Yeah, it's just a weird thing. And then remember the ending at the wedding?
That's another. What the fuck was that? So there's a scene where the Amaretos kidnap one of the Kawamas, like the latest, because there's three originals and then they add a fourth one.
Which is Gaston Padilla, yeah.
And so they kidnap that fool. And she fucking falls in love with the fool. She gets married with him. Yeah, then she has a change of heart.
Yeah, there's like a double wedding at the end.
We didn't even mention their names, right?
Oh, yeah.
Let me go back because the three originals, so like Leonardo, Raphael, right? So they have their own names. There's Kawamon, who's Pedro Weber, who's the main Kawama ninja. There's just Kawama straight up, who's like the second sidekick. Mm. And then there's Kawamo. So they don't even get original with the names, you know?
They're just like, wow, what do we call them? That's probably what was going on when they're writing the script. They're like, ah, shit, what do we call them? Just put Kawamo. That's another video home example. It's like they were always writing the script that during the day of the shooting.
I mean,
so more than like that's what was going on. They're like, just changing shit, adding jokes.
But yeah, I mean, at the end, like you said, there's a double wedding with Kawamon getting married to, of course, an absolute bombshell.
Oh yeah,
and
turns out he was cheating all this time.
It turns out he was cheating because the final scene of the movie,
his turtle wife, turtle kids, they're dressed up in like Ninja Turtle outfits. I was like, oh my god! Yeah, dude. It was just like, what? Like, yeah, I'm telling you, it's just. It's a weird one.
This is a very wacky Z grade comedy out of Mexico.
Yeah,
that I don't know how many people outside of Mexicans would enjoy, but I mean, it's on YouTube for anyone that wants to watch it.
Yeah, I also put it in the notes too. In our show notes, you'll see a download link. So if you want to watch it,
Oh shit! You're giving out a free download.
I know, right? Isn't that weird?
What is happening here?
I don't know. I was just bored. I was like, when I was writing the notes, I was like, all right, what do I add here? I was like, I still have the link for Joey. He's like, I might as well just share it.
Hey, so there it is.
If it works, it works. If it doesn't work, don't even bug me.
Oh, I see.
It'll work for a while, I'm sure. But sometimes these Dropbox links don't work for a while. So you have to, like, change it. I don't know.
So there it is.
If it stops working, it stops working.
It'll be in the show notes where you can watch this movie.
That YouTube
or
one
YouTube.
Yeah, the YouTube one's really bad, though. It's like the quality's really dark.
The YouTube version is real shitty. The audio sucks. You can't find a good audio for this anyways. But
yeah, that was another thing, too. It's like, when they're making these video homes back in the day, they were just using these cheap-ass microphones, cheap equipment.
Just get the movie done type shit, basically.
Exactly. That was the business. That was the business model then. It's like, all right, guys, we have a week. We have this certain amount of money. Let's just do it. Hey, this scene didn't come out good. Ah, fuck it. Just cut it. Hey, what's going on with this script? I don't think we're going to be able to do this. All right, here, we'll just rewrite it. So, like I said, this is a perfect example of a video home. It's just a movie that they made on the fly, obviously. Doesn't make any sense, but hey, they got to make money, you know? It's like, hey, we're going to make a Ninja Turtle movie. It'll sell. Kids are loving this shit right now.
I mean, it's like the perfect way to spoof the Ninja Turtles, because like the Kawama is the turtle,
yeah,
and it's a fucking beard. I mean, so you got the best, yep, of both worlds. You can mash the two together, and you have,
yeah,
ninja turtles that are fighting crime against beer importers
from Argentina,
and again, you know, this is like. The only way I can get through this was try to find like the subplot or the sub meanings of everything. And
then of course, you know, with the way they sell these video homes was the cover art. So when you look at the cover art, it's just like a drawing of the turtles.
I gotta say the cover art is pretty sick.
And then
though.
They just plastered pictures of the guys as actors on there. So that's not even their real bodies, but they try to make them look like turtles too, I think too. That's another thing. Or maybe they just drew them way too fat. I don't know. But either way, it's a cool cover though.
It'll
catch your eyes. That was another way they sold these movies. It's like, all right, we're gonna make a movie. It's like, it's kind of shitty. Well, we better make the cover look good. So better draw something fucking good, you know.
You know, I don't want to be the one that tells anyone to not watch a movie, because there's always gonna be someone that likes this shit. So
yeah.
If you want to watch it, watch it.
Yeah, I'm sure someone's going to be like, well, this was actually really good. It's like, oh, all right, lie to yourself.
But yeah, we'll see how long it takes to get a 5-star review on Letterboxd for this thing.
Yeah, even I didn't really like it. In my old review, I mean, I'll probably post it later on, but yeah, even I said it's not a good movie. It's just funny, but it's not funny in like the way it's trying to be. It's just a really stupid movie.
I feel like this is one of those movies where you're laughing at it, not with
exactly,
it.
Exactly, yeah, you're just like,
wow, because there's just so many stupid things happening. It's just, yeah, it's not for me, but it maybe is for somebody. I don't know.
It's stupid. It's strange, but it's there, you know. And I hope Gonsenheim and Ala Creed and all those other guys, I hope they made their money, you know. Hopefully they paid.
Are any of these guys still around?
So Ala Creed, he's dead already. Gonsenheim, like I said, he's still alive, living comfortably.
Living in San Diego.
San Diego. And yeah, a lot of these actors are—they're all gone already.
Yeah, I know. Like
only
the
Felicia Mercado's still alive. I know that she's still alive. But yeah, like the comedy actors, like the turtles—they're all—they're all gone already. They're long gone.
Oh yeah, I mean they were, you know, older in age already by this time. Yeah.
But yeah, they're all gone already. But yeah, hopefully, like I said, they all got paid, and I'm sure they did. Like I said, because that was the only reason why they would do these movies. It's like, hey, we need work. Hey, none of these novellas are hiring us. Hey, but this guy in this small town is making a movie.
How many pesos are you paying? Fuck it, let's do it.
So yeah, this is an example. Like I said, they were not doing it because they believed in the movie. They just needed money. That's all it was. They needed the work.
Well, I mean, there it is, guys. Yeah, two strange comedies for the summer. I think these are good summer movies, actually.
Yeah, especially if you're just chilling at home. It's like, hey, Anma Linda Linda, you know, if you're on Tubi, and I know a lot of people watch stuff on Tubi, put it on Tubi.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Kawama's Ninjas, hey, you know, if you want to put it on YouTube, put it on YouTube. Or
if you're lucky enough to have a live download link on the show notes.
Yeah, if you got the download link, yeah, download it or just watch it on Dropbox on the website. Yeah, just chill, you know. Grab a Kawama if you want.
I don't drink anymore, but if I still was drinking, I probably would have to drink a Kawama. Just
thought
of
it. It's just like,
shit,
yeah, but I'm not doing that. Like, I don't even really drink either, but I'm just saying. No. I can't.
Well, there it is, guys.
Strange summer, strange movies, a witch, turtles. Good times. I don't know. But yeah, that was fun.
We're gonna move on next month to something a little bit more serious, more dramatic. Titles that I think are relevant to what's happening in LA today. Again, I think moving forward, I think we've found how we're gonna
the formula of
what to do. So we're obviously new to this, so. You know, after listening to other people's podcasts, shout out to, you know, all the homies that have been doing podcasts for so long.
Yeah, like Unsung Horrors was honestly probably the reason why I wanted to, just after listening to it for a little while already. It's like, anyone, I kind of want to get on this shit too.
Yeah,
let me
take up
Joey's
arm. Shout out to
Unsung Horrors. And they're also listeners too. Erica, Lance, they shout us out a lot. So it's always awesome to hear them.
And so I think moving forward, you know, the episodes will be more aligned to a different format. But I think people are going to enjoy it. The topics are still going to stay the same. You know, I did have a couple people reach out about some of the playlists that we've made on Spotify. You know, that kind of correlate to the more music related episodes that we've done. So moving forward, you know, we're going to have Spotify playlists and we're going to have Apple playlists, because I know there's, you know, a couple people that said they would listen, but they don't have Spotify.
Yeah.
So we'll, you know, those playlists will be available on Apple. Oh, once you hear this, it'll be available, so you can, yeah. You can follow that.
Which reminds me, what was the most downloaded episode again?
Oh my
which
god, has to do with crazy!
Music, which is funny because it has to do with music.
The episode we did about Los Bukis and Los Temerarios.
The most downloaded.
Who would have fucking thought?
I know that one was just like a random one that you had an idea. Remember? And I was like, yeah, let's do it.
I proposed it as a joke, yeah. And it became it. I mean, it gets at least 5 downloads every day.
Yeah, and then you know we just went, we hung out with Jaime, we recorded, and then, yeah, now all of a sudden it's like probably the popular episode, I would say.
Ah, I mean, maybe we gotta, you know, focus on the music related trash mix shit. That's what people want more.
We have a music one coming up too, right? I think. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I've already, you know, I gotta add it to the note, the collaborative note that we have. But yeah, I want to do more music stuff. I think December would be a good month for the next music episode.
Yeah.
Just because of who it is, but yeah, I mean, there's a couple other groups that, you know, were very prolific in Mexican movies that were, you know, we're obviously gonna talk about those. So,
yeah, exactly.
You know, don't forget to rate and subscribe and review the show.
Give us a review, rate us, give us stars, whether it's 4, 5, whatever, 3
or 1 if you want to. Yeah, you know, if you hate us, you know.
I know I got some haters, but. The haters that I get are weird. They just message me on Instagram, and it's like a weird message. I'm like, what?
I'm so thankful that people don't know who I am, you know?
Yeah, dude, it's weird. Or on Letterboxd, they'll comment. I'll be like, okay, like, am I supposed to get, like, offended? And I'm just like, I'm 30. I'm almost 35. I don't care.
People are just strange, you know? They, you know, people want, like, immediate access to stuff. They want you to give them downloads. I mean, that's fair, you know? Asking is one thing.
Or they're just, like, jealous, and it's, like, it's weird. It's, like, why are you jealous of someone you don't know?
I saw one, I mean, not to go on a tangent at the end of the show, but I saw one when we did, I forgot which episode it was. It was the episode we did with, I can't remember his name now. What the hell? I feel so bad. The episode we did with Jesus Christ, what the fuck?
Which one?
When we guessed it on
Adolfo?
No, not Adolfo. Elias's show. God damn, sorry, Elias.
Oh, Elias.
Yeah, Elias. Shout out. Yeah. Sorry, I forgot. I'm sorry, I forgot your name, but we did an episode with Elias, and the one guy was commenting like, "Yeah, this guy's not a fucking."
He just shows off.
Yeah, he just shows off his collection. Like, he doesn't represent me. I'm like, Jesus Christ, guy, like, relax. Like, it's not that serious.
It's not that serious, yeah. Like, that's the thing. So, like I said, if you're going to be weird like that, like I said, just know that I don't care. No me importa. Yo no te conozco. No me importa.
Me vale pura verga,
güey. Me vale verga. And, yeah, you know, keep watching. And then if you're following... I mean, that's all on you. You don't have
to. Those are like the weird ones. They follow you. They watch everything. See? They hate on you still. You know, See? You can't please everybody.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard enough to you know, find these movies. So have some patience or have some humility when Armando says he cannot upload a movie for you. Or if others are sharing it,
hey, cool, you know, but that's just not my formula.
But it's, you know, it's also like... It shit takes time to fucking rip these movies and put them up and to give them out for free.
Like almost, that took me a while, actually. Because I thought I had an old rip that I had, but I lost it. So I was like, oh, man, I have to watch it and put it on the disc.
Yeah, you know, people think it's so easy to put these shits out.
Like, I'm not at home all day. Like, I wish I was home all day, but, you know, half the time I'm at work, I'm fucking tired.
Well, that's the thing, too. A lot of these fools are like these fucking film bro nerds that just fucking pretend to watch 10 movies a day. Like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, and, you know, they probably don't do anything. That's another story. But anyway, so like I said, strange people, strange summer, strange movies.
Strange movies, strange comedy.
Thank you guys again. And then for those that are always supportive, I'm very, 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 very much appreciated. If I don't like show it enough, I apologize, I guess. But also at the same time, just know that I never overlook anything. Like, I do appreciate everything you guys say. And if you're responding to me or if I'm messaging you back, just know I do appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't talk to too many people myself, but it's nice to see that people are responding well, and I'm sure you get tons of messages. I don't get too many. I don't really get many.
Yeah,
but,
yeah. You guys need to start messaging Joy, because sometimes I get an overflow of messages. I'm like, I'll respond tomorrow. Which reminds me, I have an email I need to show Joey later, but not right now.
Yeah, we'll look at it once we're done recording here. But shout out to everyone who listens. You know, we definitely appreciate it. People have left, you know, 5-star reviews and stuff. But please, you know, subscribe. Tell everybody.
Yeah, spread the word. Yeah.
You know, the mission here is to keep spreading Mexican movies. Hopefully, movies that you've never heard of or that you haven't seen. And, you know, hopefully people are enjoying it. I think they are enjoying it. And I know I'm having fun watching, you know, a lot of these movies. Some of them I haven't even heard of. Some of them, but. Yeah.
Like, I think you're going to really like the one we talk about next, which is what? Vagón de la Muerte, right? One of them?
One of them is Vagón de la Muerte.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
You're going to be like, oh, shit.
So.
I'm excited for you to watch that one because that's a really good one.
I'm excited. You talked that one up like crazy a couple months ago or like probably a year ago now. That, yeah, you know, but.
And like I said too, like when I was talking to all those Diaz at the Juan Valentin show, Vagón de la Muerte was the main movie they were telling me about. I was like, damn, that's a movie that people like.
I mean, and hopefully people tune in. So
yeah, so that'll be on the next one.
That'll be the next one. And if you know, you can look that up, you know, preemptively right now and pretty much guess what the topic is going to be. It'll be more serious. So again, thanks.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
Rate, review, subscribe, all of it. And hit us up on email, on Instagram. Armando's on Twitter, I think, or Blue Sky or whatever
it
is.
Twitter, it's just getting hard now. Twitter's
I know.
Now I could see why like other people are like completely
jumping ship.
It.
Yeah.
Like, fuck
You know, if you're on Letterboxd, follow the list that we put up. It's
Joey has the list on there with all the movies that we're covering.
I add them as the shows come out. You know, not to spoil the next month's episodes and what we're talking about. So. Follow along, like it, share it, watch, tell us what you think of all the movies. That's the one thing, you know. We want to have a dialogue, too. So if you're watching it, let us know, man. Tell us what you think. If we're doing shitty jobs talking about it or if you liked the movie, hated the movie, you know, just hit us up. Let's start a dialogue, man. Mexican movies need to have more discussion, you know.
Yeah, not just the same ones either.
Yeah, not all the you know, the Jodorowskis and Alucarda. I saw you got some hate on your list about why you didn't add Alucarda, but
it's funny because I was already making fun of that before that was gonna happen, and sure enough,
I knew.
That was the funny part. Even after, it was like, all right, it did happen. See, I was right.
Yeah, I know.
It was funny, but it's whatever. Yeah. It's cool. And Vacaciones de Terror is the best horror movie. Okay.
Of all time, damn. Yeah. Best.
I'll argue about that during October for something. I'll let y'all know.
Oh, you know what? I did want to plug because I know you had asked me, you know, about writing stuff too for the site.
Oh yeah.
So I'm gonna plug this. You know, it's been a while. I wanted to publish this article that I wrote for the Trashmex website. Yeah. For the summer, and maybe it'll be live by the time the show goes up. If not, we'll post it. But I did write something about, you know, because I'm a collector of soundtracks and library music, as some of you guys may or may not know. But you know, I wrote a little article about library music in Mexican movies and covered specifically one record that has been used in many different Mexican movies. So I think people will get a kick out of it. Hopefully you guys will read it when I post that. Obviously we'll let you know when that goes live.
Trashmix.com. I know a lot of people are still like, hey, where's the old review for this? Like, don't worry guys, it's gonna come. I've been pumping that shit hard, but it's a long process. I thought it was gonna be like an easy process, but it's been harder than I thought. But the website will be complete by the time, like, I don't know, in the coming month or so. For sure. And then everything, all the new stuff that I have already lined up.
There it is. So keep an eye on the website as well, guys.
Yeah, trashmix.com. Joey's stuff will be there, of course.
And hopefully I'll start writing more. I plan to write more, too.
Yeah.
But,
for sure.
Yeah, we'll get it there. So thanks again, everyone, again, for listening. Sorry for rambling for the last 10, 15 minutes, but it is what it is, right? Here's a little clip of what's going to happen for next month's episode. Peace.
Próximamente estrenaremos.
Este es el río Bravo, frontera natural entre México y los Estados Unidos. Ahora es aquí, en una extensión de 2.986 kilómetros, donde la gran alucinación ejerce su funesta influencia. Aquí, donde millones de mexicanos, con razón o sin ella, renegando de la tierra que los vio nacer, son atraídos también por la fábula del dólar. Aquí, donde tiene lugar quizá el drama más intenso de nuestros tiempos. Avalanchas humanas procedentes de todo el mundo, de todas las razas y credos, se lanzaron desde entonces a la conquista de la tierra de promisión.